I have a lot of opinions.
Welcome to Highway Diary. Yeah. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Zach Silverman. We're at the Romo Room.
We are at the Romo Room.
Or somewhere near.
Somewhere very near.
So you were one of the first people I started, you know, doing the Romo Room, the open mic circuit with around Austin. And, you know, I think since I've lived in Austin, February 1st, 2020, to July whatever, 2021 to July, 6 months, you've made the most gains.
Wow, that's really nice. I'm getting that a lot, actually. About half, I can think of like half a dozen people that have said similar things to me, and it's very nice.
Uh-huh. So it's not, you know, it could seem like a backhanded compliment, like, oh, when I got here, you sucked. You know what I mean? It could sound like
there's a lot of comics. yeah.
Like, but I watch, every time I watch you, you have another joke, you're more comfortable, you're more, you feel like you're, when you're up there, you made the switch where when you're up there, you're enjoying yourself. Yeah. And I think before when I would see you up there, you'd have anxiety of, is this going to work? Is this working? And now all that's gone and you're like having fun up there.
Yeah. I think that's, someone told me that when he first saw me, he didn't feel like I was present on stage. And I think that's very much true. I think I've always felt like I feel pretty okay about my joke writing, but definitely the stage presence, the crowd work, I bring the crowd with me a lot more now. I think that's something I've tried to do more of.
And do you have like are you like a head case where you get like insecure in social situations?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. I don't know, man. Like I feel like I'm always worried that like I'm like taking up people's space and time and annoying them, but also trying to like, cause like I'm a comedian, so it's like, I want you to like me, you know, like that's a lot of, I think humor's always been my way of like, controlling, like laughter's such a clear reaction, you know, yeah. It's such a clear, it's like, okay, I know I said a thing and they gave me the response I was looking for. So that's kind of where I think where I developed a lot of my sense of humor. But I've always been really awkward and just in all situations.
I love it. But because, here's the thing, because you are like, am I taking up someone's time? People with endless confidence stop writing jokes because they think, oh, like a narcissist, yeah. Right? See, I think you're more in the codependent because you're like, am I taking up someone's
yeah,
time?
Yeah.
So because you're codependent, you want to make sure your stage time is valued. And so to do that, you'll write and prepare.
Yes.
And narcissists stop writing and preparing and they think that it's, you know, you're lucky to have me here.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when they haven't prepared or written anything.
You kind of need to somehow be both of that, I think, with comedy. Because I do think, like, I've talked about this with people. It's like you have to go from thinking, like, I'm the fucking best to I'm going to kill myself in, like, a minute, you know? Like, that's like, I feel like everyone has those experiences. Like, especially, like, at a mic that sucks. I feel like we all know it's like there's a mic, everyone's bombing. And they're like, there's like a crowd, but they hate comedy. They don't want to be comedy to be happening. And they're like, damn, this sucks. But I'll get them. You know, I feel like everyone's had that experience. And then you go up and bomb, you know?
Yeah. Or like, well, I see the mistake that guy made. Yeah. I'm not going to make that mistake. I got these badass jokes that like these people. And then you like, you get up there and either do well. But it is, you know, if you do well in that circumstance, then that shows you a lot, like mentally. Like if five people bomb in a row and you do well, then it's like, yeah, you know, I am just tonight better than these five people.
Yeah,
and
right.
Not that, you know, you'd be a dick about it, but just like,
no, it feels good. Great.
Just say it to yourself. You know what I mean? Like,
feels. I mean, everyone's trying to be the funniest guy in the room. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And if you succeed, even in like an hour chunk of, goddamn, stop bending over. Like, I'm trying to focus. Where did you start? When did you start? Where did you start? Where are you from?
I started really doing comedy in New Hampshire. I started in Manchester, New Hampshire. There were like two mics at a time in that city, and then everyone, you'd have to drive all over New England just to get a little bit of stage time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually a big thing, I think, down here. I've had, in this like 6 months I've been here, like more stage time than the 2 years I did in New Hampshire.
Oh, wow.
To be fair, one of those years was 2020, you know, so it's like I didn't do a ton of comedy during COVID and stuff, you know. But yeah, it's like when I started, it was like in my town, like I said, there were like two mics. I'd be driving like I'd drive to like Boston once or twice a week, which is like an hour drive, and then you drive in Boston, which is a nightmare. Right. And for
you,
3 minutes,
you park and take the T a little bit.
No. You found out where you could park, and you know, because it's like I knew I was or you carpool. But yeah, so it's like, but what happened there was, you'd be driving, like there was like this scene of like southern New Hampshire, northern Mass that all kind of blended together, and you see a lot of people. Like, it was immediately like, there would be, at each mic, there'd be, like, a few regulars at just that mic, and then there'd be, like, the 20 people that you saw at all of them. And, like, immediately, like, those are the people that actually care about. They're driving, everyone's driving an hour, hour and a half, just to do 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we're down here, you know, it's really easy to just do 2 or 3 mics a week.
I like how compact it is. Like, it's still, it's like, you know, I used to live in New Orleans, too, but this is, like, it's like 2 New Orleanses.
Wow.
And so it's like double the population, you know, it's but the drives are like 10 minutes. Like, it, from my house, this is like the easiest to get to. But even when I go downtown, it's still like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Instead of like LA, where it could be 90 minutes to get down if you live in Northridge or something like that.
Yeah.
Do you remember the worst bomb where the circumstances were good? There was a hot crowd. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like a real bomb.
Like a real
bomb. Not
just
like a shitty night.
Not a shitty night where there's no audience. I'm saying it's packed. Everyone, Zach Silverman, and then you suck.
Yeah, of course.
What, do you remember the worst bomb?
Yeah, I mean, I have one that I always remember that, like... So, for context, like, again, like, back to, like, it was... There was only, like, 20 people you see over and over again where I started doing comedy. And so, and there were just, like, almost no shows. Like, that wasn't even a, like, here, it's like, oh, I want to get on shows. Like, that wasn't even a thing on my, like, there were, like, 5 bar shows for everyone, like, a month. You know, it's like, and that's, see, I wasn't even on my radar. Like, unless if you lived in Boston, you could go play that game, but I couldn't, I wasn't there enough. But, so, what ended up happening, and I didn't quite realize it until I moved down here, was, you end up seeing, it's just the same people over and over again. So you end up just writing jokes for those people. You know what I mean? Right. So you get better for those people. And then it was very, like, looking back, some of the stuff that I thought was some of my best material, it was like, no, they just like that their friend Zach Silverman was doing that, you know?
He's the local guy.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the same thing for me. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe Patrick did that. You know, it's like, but if you go up on a show where no one knows you, there's no, like, they don't give a shit, you know?
Yeah,
they
want
a real joke. So it was a show, one of the first shows it was like the third or fourth show I ever did. It was to probably 50 people it was probably like 2 Romo rooms of size.
Mm-hmm.
It was 50, 60 people. It spread out well. It felt packed. Good hot crowd. First time my parents watched me, both of them came.
Yeah.
They all brought friends. And I just did all this weird, like, some of it did okay. I did all this just weird, almost alt-y stuff that was working at the mics. But again, like, the real people were like, what is this guy doing? And everyone's like, wow, it's like, wow, that was really brave of you to go up there. That's how you know. That's how you know you bombed.
Not like, hey, you were super funny.
Yeah, that's how
I was dying laughing. Mm-hmm. You're brave.
Yeah.
You're almost like a cancer victim.
Yeah. That's how you know.
You're so brave. I tried to be funny up there. Cool. Best night in comedy.
Best night in comedy. Jeez. I mean, anytime Dean or Spencer lets me go up at Barrels and Amps, that's the coolest show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever done that one.
Not yet.
It's the coolest. Like, it's just a big room where everyone's there to enjoy jokes. It's a good crowd. It was at one of those mics where I did, again, same thing. The first week after my first year of comedy, and it was like, I was up in Maine. This is how far, I had to drive 2 hours to Maine to do a 10-minute spot. That's what I started on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I had 10 minutes, and it was like, I'm going to do 10, 1 year, this is my 1 year, you know, it's like, for me, that's what I was doing, you know, I didn't destroy, but it was just like, oh, cool, I did 10 minutes, which I did not get many opportunities to do, all jokes, no crowd work.
Everything worked.
Everything worked to some level. Right, you know what right. I mean? I've had better kills, like better sets, but like that was just a cool moment. You know, yeah, it was like yeah. a capstone in my first year. Oh, and I don't cool. do 8 minutes of that stuff anymore. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Oh, that's cool. Speaking of Dean Allen Stanfield, you went bull riding.
Went bull riding.
With him, Adam Lucky, my buddy Alex Fonzie from New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of comics went down. Now, I recently, and I've said this like the third podcast in a row, people are getting sick of this, but on the Super Bowl, I actually broke my back falling off a deck.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even want to talk about it anymore. And I got knocked out because I landed on the railing and then slapped down. Pa-pa!
Yeah.
Slapped down on my head. Riding a bull is terrifying for me because you get, let's say you've... He flicks you off, which is likely to happen.
And then
he's probably pissed, right? Stomping around.
Well, I don't want to spoil too much because they filmed it for a show.
Okay.
But what I will say, because I did it twice. I rode a bull twice.
You called your mom first.
I did, yeah. Actually, really funny. The first time I did it, the way I got roped into it, it is a funny story. I was just at the Creek and Cave hanging out. One night, and my mom was in town visiting me in Austin, and she's up in New Hampshire, and Dean was like, I'm gonna ask you a question, Zach Silverman, and the answer better be yes. I'm like, yeah, okay. He's like, he's doing the show, and he wanted to do a promo for the show.
Wild West Wednesday?
No, it's like not a comedy show, like a YouTube show. It's called Welcome to Texas.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. It's like getting people to do Texas things.
Right, know? Right.
And he's like, I got this promo. The guy that I was going to have ride the bull for the promo just dropped out. And I just need someone tomorrow because I got it all set up. And I said, okay. My mom's like the biggest warrior and she's in town. And, I have a puppy, and my mom's like, it was her last day in town, like, the flight was the next day, she's like, all I want to do is spend all day with your puppy. I'm like, okay. So I called her, I was like, hey, we can bring the dog. I have an opportunity to, I called her at, like, 7 in the morning, which is, like, 8 in the morning her time, because it's like, that. I imagined her, she wasn't adjusted. And my mom gets up early, like, she gets up at, like, 5 in the morning normally, so I was like, it's fine for me to call her at 7:30 in the morning. She's still asleep somehow. Like, that's amazing. And so I wake her up, which I feel bad about, but whatever. And I'm like, hey, I have an opportunity to ride a bull. Like, I can bring the dog to the farm. You know, this is crazy. Like, I know. And she's like, okay. I'm like, I hung up. I was like, wow, that went really well. I thought she was freak out. 20 minutes later, I get a call. Wait, you're going to do what? Like, she was, like, still waking up. You're like, do you mean a real bull? Like, I'm like, you've already agreed.
You said yes.
Yeah. Not that she could tell. She could tell me no because she's in town. You know, she went all the way across the country.
But you asked permission.
Yeah.
You're a sweet boy. You're the sweetest
I wouldn't
boy.
Have if she wasn't in town. I would have just told her probably after the fact.
I saw a photograph of you practicing on a mechanical bull.
Yeah. Yeah, so they taught us, like, all the stuff on a mechanical bull. And that actually got me kind of almost, like, a little confident. Like, a little cocky. Because I was, like, pretty good at the mechanical bull. And then you get on the real bull, and you're like, oh no.
Right. What did he tell you as far as, like, because it's like, whether or not you get stomped in the head when you're on the ground is really up to chance. Did they say anything to, like, not get stomped on? Because that's my main concern with
you. You kind of got to move right away. Like,
lay there like a dead fish.
Yeah. If you watch it, I think if you see it in person, accidents happen for sure, but it's like the bull's already, like, by the time you hit the ground, the bull's already somewhere else. It doesn't care about you. It's trying to get you off and get away. Like, it's trained. They got the rodeo clowns in there. Sure, they have dogs in there herding it.
Okay.
It was really cool. But it's like the bull's not trying to hurt you. It's not trying to not hurt you. Just does it. It's just like, get the fuck off me. And then.
Right.
But of course accidents happen.
So this is going to be a series, like a YouTube channel, but also they're going to premiere this at Crooked Teeth Comedy. Didn't they play this bull riding short film at a show already, or no?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know all the details.
Gotcha. What are your comedy goals, Zach Silverman? Where do you think you're at?
Where do I think right now?
What are your goals? Just get better right now? You're not thinking about nothing?
Yeah, I mean, I just get better, get on more. I think I want to write more stuff. What I also want to do is I want to get better at, like, fleshing a joke out. I feel like I kind of get a line and be like, ah, it's over. I got it. I want to get better at being like, well, what? I could probably get a better laugh from that. You know, try a different punchline or something. That's what I want to focus on. And then I want to be able to... I want to be able to get to the point where I can, like, text someone running a showcase. Be like, can I do a spot? And they go, yeah. You know what I mean? Right, right.
Instead of, like, you ask and then you have no response.
Yeah.
Which is what's... A lot of that's been going on in my Facebook Messenger recently.
Yeah, that's...
Hey!
A lot of it.
But, there, you know, some of it is my fault for being not as good at comedy, and people think I suck, and so they don't book me on the show. Part of it is drugs.
Yeah.
And a lot of these producers are on coke all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're, like,
yeah,
running about. Now, my personal beef this week is with cocaine, and
yeah,
I'll tell you why. I've been watching cocaine take a lot of my friends down. I knew that Texas was close to Mexico, right? I knew that on a map.
Yeah.
But, ooh, doggy. I'm starting to realize, like, oh, like, okay.
There's a lot of cocaine in this town.
The first time I met this person, they asked if I wanted to buy some cocaine. And then they asked if I wanted to do a comedy show. So I was like, oh, this person's cool. Like, you know, I'm not going to do this, right?
Yeah.
But, and then I saw this person Tuesday at a mic. And then they were having an argument with somebody else. Like, oh, are you going to Venmo me for that? But then the bar tab from last night, oh, but remember we did that other stuff, so you owe me 70 from that.
Oh, my goodness.
And when they were talking, they were making no sense. And I was right next to this conversation. And it seemed like one person was haggling, negotiating, and conning another person.
Yeah.
And the other person, everything they said I agreed with, and everything this person said made no sense. And because they were like, no, don't mix our debts. Like,
yeah,
that debt is that debt, but then I'm talking about $30 because I want to get drunk right now. So I'm going to Venmo you that, but we're going to talk about that other debt later, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, and the guy's like, yeah, but you owe me this and this and this. He's like, I'm not talking about that now. I'm just talking about this because I want to get fucked up. Okay, so I've been hanging out with this person. Sorry, I'm going to, a little backstory.
Oh, go ahead.
Hanging out with this person, maybe playing some frisbee golf, maybe. But I smoked some weed, so we went to go buy weed. And he's like, no. Hey, my guy, he texts me, pretends to take a text.
Yeah.
Oh, my guy texted me. He says 220 because I bought like a grip of weed, right? So then he goes, I'm like, I can't come in with you. He's like, no. I know this guy. He doesn't know new people. There's new people. I know this guy, blah, blah, blah. So I roll my window down. He goes to the other guy. And he goes, so what? How much is the weed, right? And I hear the source guy that he's buying from go, 160 or 180. And then he goes, all right, I'll take the 160. What? Right?
Yeah.
So then he comes back in.
And charges you 220?
No, he already got my 220.
Oh, my goodness.
He didn't say nothing. As soon as he hit my car, I go, I don't think I'm friends with this person anymore.
Yeah.
That's like me going, hey, Zach, hey, you want to get a six-pack? Let's get a six-pack of beer. Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't bring any cash. We got, hey, I'll just, hey, you got, oh, you got 20? Thanks, hey. I'll Venmo you. And then it's like, yeah, I give you $2 back. I get 3 beers, you get 3 beers. Or 4 beers, you get 2 beers. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's insane. That's a narcissist.
So then it's like, okay, I'm driving. Now, what really annoyed me about this particular scenario is I drove to the drug dealer's house.
Oh,
so
my
now,
goodness.
If a comic friend of mine, you know, buys it for 28, sells me an eighth for 35, but it's in a Ziploc, and they either drive to my house or they meet me at a show. It's in the Ziploc. They already measured it. They did the measuring.
They did the work. Like,
they did the... That's just business.
Mm-hmm.
When it's, hey, let me buy it for you, I drove!
Yeah.
I drove!
Your gas.
Somebody else put it in a baggie. They measured it. You walk 10 feet for my $60... That's not being a dealer, wheeler dealer. That's being a bad friend.
Yeah, that's shitty. Why is it if we're not?
Just... Hey, can I get 5 out of the 60 for gas?
Yeah. that you just gained.
And then it's like, you know, first of all, I think we're playing frisbees. But this guy's working.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's exhausting to be around someone like this. One time we go to get an expensive lunch. I'm Captain Cheap. I'll make 10 sandwiches. I'll wrap them up in tinfoil. I'll have one sandwich a day. I'm a fucking cockroach. I don't care about, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'll have whatever, a little sack of nuts from 7-Eleven. I'm good. So this guy's like, no, let's get the expensive. Let's go to the expensive place. Let's go to the expensive place, right? So then we show up, and they're like, cash only. And he's like, oh, I don't have any cash.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'll Venmo you.
Fucking
Venmo
piece
you.
Of shit.
So then...
I do...
I drop all this cash. I put the cash in, right? You know what I'm saying? And then they may have put in $2 $2 for the tip in the jar. We go back. I'm going, hey, like, they're texting other people. I'm like, hey, can I get that $22 for your half of the food? Oh, hold on. What, it's like that? It's like, just give me a second. I'm doing other things. Get all the way to house. Hey, can we do it?
Yeah.
Just give me a second. I'm texting. We eat all the food. I'm like, I'm not leaving until I see you do the thing now. Because I didn't want... I'm like fuming. But then the person did it. Okay, this person also asked to be my talent manager. Now, recently, I don't know if you know this about me, Zach Silverman. Recently, I filmed a whole sketch at Shenanigans. You know, Shenanigans, right? They stopped doing an open mic. But that venue I got for 90 minutes, it cost me $50. It took 2 months for me to get... I screen wrote a sketch because I got my degree in screenwriting. Mm-hmm. The cinematographer stayed at our house for 2 days. I fed him 3 meals a day for 2 days. Then another person who's acting in it, who also lives in my house, I fed him meals for 3 days, right? To get to rehearse with me, which was pulling teeth. So then we filmed this. Then I filmed 2 more sketches. I take the screenplays, right? And I write notes to the editor. You'll find this shot, MOV file 0021. You'll find this shot, MOV file 0017. Blah, blah, blah. Put it in an envelope with a thumb drive. I mail 3 sketches to the editor, all story produced, all notes.
Hey, I don't have any cash, but can I be your manager?
Yeah. What does that even mean?
So you want 10%. Does this person ever ask me? Hey, what projects, what I just said, that sketch I just did? Did this person ever ask me about that? No.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
Never watch my special. Okay, so then, now this is why I had a... This person solicited recently $100 on Facebook for Venmo. Because they're going to Venmo them, and then they're going to Cash App you, and then this and that, and this and that. After at Anderson Mill, I saw the same shit going on. And I'm going, okay. So then when I started, so I'm a cunt, right? So I texted on the post, dude, get this off Facebook. This is not cool, right? And then, you know what this person messaged me? Are you crazy? Is there something wrong with you, Zach?
Yeah.
That you're asking me this? Is everything okay at home? I go, get this off Facebook. It makes you... This is drug addiction. Get this off Facebook. It makes you look like... No, what's the problem? I had 100 on Venmo. I need to put it... I'll give you for Cash App. Put it through your own checking account. Don't bother people with this.
Yeah, that's...
Why would you broadcast this? No, but it's like just helping out a friend. Oh, really? Like my $60?
Yeah.
Have you experienced people on cocaine in Texas?
Yeah, of course. it's not. You go to an open mic that's... Even if you don't know, you can guess. You know, you're going to talk to 4. You don't know. You know, I don't know. It's a lot here. And I think it's... You know, it's a party town. It's definitely a very fast drug that people use up very quickly and very expensive. And I think that... And it's very addictive. So that gets exactly the behavior that you see. There's some people that it's just like... It's fine. And then there's others where, like, you see it bring them down. And I think there's, like... That's, like, any drug. Like, alcohol or anything. And there's people, other people can mention that I think were at the top, and then probably from drugs took a good hit, you know?
And it's what I'm noticed, like, I have my own vices. Like, you know, I like booze. I like popcorn can straight up take me down.
Sure.
Like, I can be 500 pounds if I don't watch my popcorn consumption. Yeah. It's salty, crunchy. It's like puffs of bacon. Popcorn, it's so delicious.
Yeah.
So I just joined a boxing gym. I've been going there like in the last 2 weeks, I've been there like, I don't know, 15 times or something like that. So I go, I'm holding pads for kids. This is gonna make me cry. I'm holding pads for kids, like street kids who like have problems at home and stuff like this. So it's like giving me my soul, where it's like, it really grounds me. It's a Richie Lord's boxing gym. It's smelly, it's not updated, but there's something about it where I just love working out with the guys and boxing and
hell yeah.
You know, it's great. It's really helping me like stay healthy, stay positive, give back to the community. And yeah. what do you have vices that kind of, you seem like, you see what I'm saying? It's about longevity. It's it's not about like, oh, I'm gonna produce these 5 shows and then do coke and then until I can't pay my rent and I'm asking for Venmo money on Facebook. You see what I'm saying? It's like, it's a longevity of not burning bridges or doing bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, I, with drugs and booze and anything, like, it's like, I'm not, like, I don't have a very addictive personality. Like, I could go a long time without any doing it. But, like, once I've made the decisions, like, oh, I'm getting drunk tonight, I'll have 20 beers. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. Like, I'm a big guy. It takes a lot to, like, and once I have beers, I'll do dumber things, you know? And, like, yeah, it's like, if I made the decision, like, I'm getting fucked up tonight, I'm getting fucked up. Like, which is probably not healthy.
Right, right.
I also have a terrible diet. I love junk food. I love pizza and fast food. And
do you go in the Doritos and salt? Like, what, like,
do you, I like, don't snack. I just, like, eat terrible for my meals. Like,
so
I
like
frozen
and
food. Yeah, like, oh, burgers okay. And, yeah.
If you make them at home, a burger's not so bad.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't cook a lot, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just lazy, and I like junk food, and I order Uber Eats a lot, and like, mm-hmm. It gets really expensive.
Get Wendy's and stuff
like
that?
Yeah, shit like that. Whataburger. That's food. I remember in college, I would, like, during finals, like, everyone's stressed and, like, doing crazy things, and like all my roommates would be like getting high and drinking on a Tuesday while they're studying, and I would like kind of be like, well, what are you guys doing? We're studying, you know, we gotta be productive. And then like there would be a knock on the door, and then it would be like Pizza Hut with my large Meat Lover's pizza, and it'd be like the third time they were there that week. It's like, oh, this is my drug. This is my thing. Yeah.
So you're saying Meat Lover pizza can take out Zach Silverman
easily?
But now you don't get derailed from pussy? Like, girls don't kind of take you off track, or?
Not really, no. No, I don't get super distracted by bitches. No, I'm just kidding. No, not really. I don't know.
Wait, you have a girlfriend, right?
No.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I broke.
Guys, let's keep the energy going. Can we get some round of applause going? I don't believe Tamir Bryant's here. Tamir, if you're here, smile wide. All right? He's not. Give it up for your next comment, buzzed and fresh, Zach Silverman!
Similar to those last comics, I also share some lineage. I'm also 70% black. Yeah. Just kidding. I don't have that confidence. I'm Jewish, and I got a new Jew joke. You guys excited? Excited. Guys, I was talking to my Jewish family. We're talking about anti-Semitism. And it is, guys, offensive to say that the Jews own all the banks and all the media. Because we also own all the skyscrapers. Give us a little bit of credit. You can tell Jews, like, anti-Semitism is real, but, like, Jews are doing fine in America. Like, you can tell Jews are doing fine because we just started voting Republican. We're killing it.
Eric Hollerbach.
Keep it going for Joe McNamara, everybody. Joe McNamara. I'm not... Robert McNamara got us into Vietnam. I'm not saying the host is a war criminal. I'm not saying that. I'm saying his family are war criminals. That's what I said I'm watching this guy. All right. Our host, Joe McNamara, everybody. Look, a lot of men are getting me too'd. You know, there's a lot of men. Comics are getting me too'd left, right, and center. Got Louis C.K., Brian Callen, Chris D'Elia. I'm missing one. A lot of men are getting me too'd. It's just weird. It's like men, their only function is to be an endless cum dispenser. That's the only thing we're designed to do, is just shoot cum all the time. And it's like, let me explain male biology. It goes yucky yucky yogurt comes out. It goes like this, yucky yogurt comes out. That's our only function. I'm surprised every man is not Me Too'd every day. I masturbated on a bus one time. I didn't even know until it was over that I masturbated on a bus. Any wife in a 30-year mortgage and a marriage finds out real quick that she's locked in a building with a boner that never stops. You know what I mean? It's like, I thought it was man's got a bit of sleep on nice little pillows. And then they're locked in their bedroom with their marital husband. He's like, you're my woods bride. You know what I mean? Like, there's always the other side, but then they find out, oh shit, I'm getting dick for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? We have no other functions. We have no other functions. I'm not designed to do anything else. Like, me and my guy friends, me and Joe McNamara, we masturbate each other all the time, but with tinfoil. Because it's like making a sandwich. It's like not even gay, it's just like making a sandwich, because we're milking all the time. That's what I'm saying, guys are milking all the time, and so they can give each other hand jobs. It's not even gay at all. It's not gay.
I did break up with my girlfriend recently. We'd always get in big fights, you know. She'd say shit like, I think you're projecting your insecurities onto me. And I'd be like, no, you have a small penis, you know. You know those arguments. And now I'm dating, it's weird because I broke up with her, you know. And that's a weird feeling, because like, it's like they're supposed to be sad, you know, because you broke up. But it's like, it's conflicting for you too, because like, I see her, she's dating again, you know. And so like, part of me is like, you know, I'm like, good for you, you know? But then another part of me is like, oh, good for you, you know? It's like, I guess when I said I wish you the best, what I really meant was I wish you the second best. She's doing better than me. You don't have to feel bad.
No, I guess it's been a while. No, I'm single.
Okay.
Ladies.
Zach Silverman. He's on the market.
Yeah.
You know, he's a cheap date. Meat Lovers Pizza. What's that?
Yeah. I'm on the apps, Eric. I'm on the apps.
Oh, okay. But you know, gambling doesn't. You're not on DraftKings. You know, also, I used to do DraftKings all the time, but in Jersey, it's legal. Here, it's geo-blocked.
Oh, interesting.
So my DraftKings stopped working when I moved to Texas.
Interesting. It's not legal in Texas.
I guess no. So like, you know what I mean? It has the GPS on your phone, so it knows where it's at. So, all right, here. Can we talk about other drugs?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Heroin.
Well, I'm from New England. I'm from New Hampshire specifically, and the heroin epidemic destroyed us. a lot of heroin in the area I grew up.
Lazy, excuse people constantly lying.
Yeah, yeah. That's another one. Like people, like knowing addicts. It's like, why did you even lie about that? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you didn't have to lie about it. Like, it's like, you didn't have to tell, like, why'd you lie about me what you did this weekend? You know what I mean? You could just be like, nothing. You create this whole tale. Like, what the hell? Like, what did that get you, you know? But no, it was, because I grew up in, like, this little cute, like, town in New Hampshire. It looked like a postcard. But then the heroin epidemic, like, hit the whole state kind of right when I started high school. And it was actually weird, because I went to a public high school with, like, all the neighboring town. Like, this is how tiny of a town I was in. Like, my public high school had 6 towns go to it.
Okay, yeah. Because they're all, like, kind of just districts in the same...
Yeah, well, it's, like, the one district. It's, like, there's just not enough kids. It's, right, like, 1,000 kids in the whole school from 6 different towns. It's just such a low population.
Right.
But what's kind of interesting about... Because I got to... Because of that, too, it was a lot of different demographics. You know, you had
All right, so 6 different districts go to the same high school.
It's a bunch of different towns go to the same high school. But my point is, I went to high school with, it wasn't like I was in the rich part of the town or the poor part of town. There's one high school for six towns, right? So it's every, the really rich kids went to private schools, but like there's still like pretty rich kids and then really poor kids in one place. And again, this heroin stuff that really destroyed a lot of the country started when I was like in high school. And it was crazy that my parents had this weird, like, it was like a postcard town, so beautiful. But like me and my friends, it's like, no, we know the underbelly because we see it. We see the kids, we see their parents, we see the kid, you know, 15-year-olds on heroin. You know, it was interesting to discover that trend before like it even hit the news and like our parents really realized it was going on. And that's kind of what I was getting. Yeah, that's where I was getting there with like, because the kids know. You know what I mean? In a weird way, it's like, and also like, you know, me and my friends were going buying pot, you know, and but then the pot dealer's house had just like people hanging out doing whatever. And sometimes some of them were on clearly on, I don't know, they weren't, had like needles in their arms, but like they were just passed out on the couch all day.
Yeah.
So it's like we
but like the first time you go there, it's like, oh, they got a Nintendo, they got a TV. The next time you go there, there's no Nintendo, there's no TV. Yeah. They're a little short with the weed.
Yep. Yep.
These guys are pawning their TV in this flop house. That's
well, I don't think that the guy that sold us weed sold heroin. I think it was just like that was a place you could go and just hang out, no questions asked.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, which was, yeah, it was weird.
But for me, I'm, you know, I'm very loyal to friends, right? I treat my friends very well, you know, not to say nothing, but you know, you do have a sparkling mineral water in your hand right
yes.
now.
This
you know what I mean?
Pretty,
not that I, you know, I'm bragging about something very, a very short gesture, but like if you're in my circle of friends and like we hang out, like I'll do the drive and I'll do the, so like I really try to be a good friend, right?
Yeah.
And like I stay loyal to friends. But it's really hard for me when I go, you're my friend. And that now I say to people, you're not my friend anymore.
Yeah.
Because you're being a bad friend because of your addiction is making you say dumb shit all the time. And also, so this other person I was talking about, like, I would go to go pick them up to play Frisbees, you know? And so we would have, like, a time, like, you know, let's say 4 p.m., right? And, like, the day before, it's like, yeah, 4. Even the day of, maybe at noon, 4. Get there, not there. Like, I drove all the way there, not there. Ring, ring. What? Who? Oh, I got to do this. I got to do this chore. I got to do this chore. Well, 2 days ago, this was 4. You know, that... So can you do the chores before I get there instead of make the chores their excuse? Can you be out the door of your own house at 4?
Yeah, nothing feels...
What are you talking about chore? Do it before 4 so you're ready for 4.
Because it feels good to be supportive and, like, give mineral waters, but nothing feels worse than when you realize you're getting taken advantage of. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's a shitty feeling. And you realize, too, like, you do get to choose your friends. You know, that's something I think not that I've ever had, like, a massive falling out with anyone, but it's, like, there have been people that's, like, I just had to, like, accept that, like, this person's just not in my life anymore. You know, like, I had to let them leave my, and, you know, if we paths ever cross again, cool, but I just had to, like, let them leave my head and, like, stop. It's, like, they got other people to worry about, you know?
It's, like, for me... I was actually diagnosed codependent personality disorder.
Nice.
So for me, being codependent, when I say I'm like, when I say to somebody, we're not friends anymore, it really pangs me.
Yeah.
It really makes me feel bad because I'm, you know, even though this person doesn't care at all, for me, it's like devastating for me. But I mean, because I actually mean it.
Yeah.
And other people, we're friends, we're not friends, it doesn't mean anything. Well, for me, it's like comes with a package of loyalty of like, hey, if I was with that person and a fight broke out, I'm throwing punches on their behalf. You know what I mean? So it's like now you don't have that.
I feel like friend is almost used too much. Like now, it's like nah, it's a guy I know and like. I don't text or hang out. That's not my friend. Like,
No, I hear you. All right. Anyway. But it's important to know, like, because if you're around bad people, you're, like, if you're around losers or, you know, or people that are taking advantage of you, it's not going to go well. Like, you're always going to feel like when I was around this person hanging out, I always felt like, the fuck? Like, I go all the way over here. Then this person would come in late my car after this. And then they go, oh, no, take this right. Take this. I'm like, my GPS is working. Yeah. No, take this. So now you're not paying gas and then you dictate every turn?
Yeah.
It's like this person. Anyway, the narcissism is just like something I'm allergic to now. And like in the future, I'm going to have a much tighter leash.
Yeah, you got it.
On drug addicts.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big thing, man. And it's like, because it is. Yeah, it is. Like a friend should obviously. There's a friend's also someone's like, you forgive if things are tough or whatever sometimes. Yeah. But there is, like, most of the time, it should feel good being with that person.
It should feel 50-50.
At least.
Hey, you know, it's like, I also am, like, such a good meal prepper, and I used to live with drug addicts in Jersey, too, yeah. Right? So, like, these drug addicts are, like, watching me, like, make 6 burgers,
yeah.
You know, or, like, 6, or, like, a bunch of chicken wings, you know what I mean? And then they're like, Well, there's 2 of us, and there's 6 hamburgers. So do I get, like, a hamburger? And it's like, hey, a beer. It costs 2 beers per hamburger. Well, I don't have any. Can I have 2 of your beers and then 1 of your hamburgers? Well, and then I'm the Tupperware kid, bro. Like, these 6 burgers, 5 of them are going in the fridge in Tupperware. You right. know, so these are my later meal. I know, but they're there right now. I'm like, I'm here right now. Can I have your hamburger? It's like, I got so, like, get the fuck away from me with this dumb drug addict bullshit.
Yeah.
And I know, like, some poor people live in a community of, like, well, if you have it today, I'll have it tomorrow type of thing. But it's like, first of all, I have good cooking skills. Second of all, this is all my food. If you bring your food to my cooking skills, I'll prep your food. But, like, if I'm bringing the food and the cooking skills and I drove to buy this and I have beer in the fridge, that's all mine. You're not bringing anything to the table except a story.
Yeah. Well, and then there's always the thing of, like, well, it's disease, which I believe, but it's also, like, well, then, like, if someone had a flu, I'm not just going to let them cough on me. You know what
like
I mean?
Like, drug addiction.
Yeah.
It's
you need, like, help that I don't know how to give. You know? Like, you can't just steal my stuff.
It becomes a medical problem of mooching, of being a moochy idiot.
It is. Like, that's...
No, but I
medically a mooch. Medically an idiot. Kinda, yeah.
You did Kill Tony, July 19, 2021. Here's the clip.
And for Zach Silverman, everyone. I saw a meme on Facebook the other day. It said, fight like a girl. And it had a big picture of Wonder Woman, Supergirl, and Arya Stark. And I was like, hell yeah. Nothing says feminism quite like 3 badass chicks invented by men. Which I don't think that's fair, right? Because women have real problems, so they should have real heroes. Women have real problems, like they only make 77% as much money as men make. So they should have real heroes, like Amelia Earhart, who flew 77% of the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh boy.
God damn.
Jesus Christ. I'm not even...
I did.
Why did you talk so much shit on Amelia Earhart? Why do you hate women?
Women break my heart, and sometimes I wanna, you know, they're just yucky and gross. And
she
cooties.
Disappeared July 2nd, 1913. In my opinion, 1937. In my opinion, too soon.
Too soon. Yeah. That's just a joke I have. I'm actually very proud of that joke because it's one that. It's a premise I came up with in, like, my first few months of comedy. And then recently, in the last couple months, went back and wrote it really well. And that was a very gratifying thing. Because, of course, when I started out, I did not write it well. But so, like, that to me is such a mark of, like, oh, I have gotten better, you know? But that was really cool, man. I mean, that's the second time I've done Kill Tony. This one went better. The first one went fine. But it wasn't that memorable. Like, it was, like, fine. Like, they didn't tell me to stop doing comedy. But this one, I felt like...
They told you to stop doing comedy the first time?
No. But they do if you're right. really bad. You right. know, they didn't, like, just... It went fine. Like, but this one's, like, felt really good. It was cool. It was a cool time. It's a weird show.
It is weird. It is
the
like,
interview is super awkward, and for me especially, because it's like I didn't like think. It's like I was just so worried about doing the joke, and I'm like, oh, I gotta talk to these guys for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I gotta try to like be myself, but be entertaining, and then give them some. You know, I say so. I'm not prepared for that.
This is the beautiful Zach Silverman. You can see him, Comedians on Bulls, Crooked Teeth Comedy. Any plugs I'm missing? Any shows you got coming up? Zach Silverman.
No shows. I'm going to be gone. I've turned down some gigs, Eric.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You got some road work?
No. I'm just visiting home for most of August. Going back to New Hampshire.
You called your mom before you rode a bull. What a beautiful kid that is. I just came back from Florida seeing my mom, so we're big mama's boys.
Yeah.
She had a hysterectomy. Her uterus came out. I used to live there.
Oh, my goodness. Now it's gone.
They gentrified my mom's pussy.
Yeah.
You could go to ericollerbach.com. I got a lot of podcasts coming up. I always post. You always know if you go to ericollerbach.com, you click the calendar, you know who's going to be on my podcast coming up. I'm doing a lot of other people's podcasts, too.
Cool.
So check that out. I'm actually doing Tinfoil Hat second week of August that I'm really excited about. Slam Tripoli's podcast.
Oh, wow.
That's
kick-ass.
ericollerbach.com for show dates, podcasts coming up. We have a sponsor for this program. You can go to acbdremedy.com. That's acbdremedy.com. Cannabis oil company. It's a family company. And if you go there and you buy some cannabis oil, and then you, in the promo box, if you type in E-R-I-C, Eric, you get 20% off your order.
Yeah.
What a good deal.
Yeah.
Highway Diary, episode 311, Zach Silverman.
Thanks for having me. Can I plug my Instagram?
Of course.
It's at Zach Silverman. I post pictures of my puppy.
Hard-hitting news.
Yeah.
Hard-hitting journalism. Bye, motherfuckers.